You know the
vibes.
Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. Myself, Mo Mootsie. Alongside me, as always, Detroit's finest, Mr. BJ Armstrong. Mr. Scott Perry. How are you fellas doing after this weekend? Scott, this is a safe space. How are you doing?
It's a safe space, Mo.
Unlike Fox Sports, but this is a safe
exactly,
space.
Exactly. Man, I tell you what, you know, my good friend on there, he's gloating. I'm going to let him just take the floor.
No.
Great lines. You know, because my Steelers struggled again this weekend. I mean, we were in the playoffs, but we it would have been great to get a win going in. Playoffs are here. But the Detroit Lions are the story of the football world. Obviously, the biggest story in Detroit, because anybody who lived in Detroit, from Detroit, is well aware of the historic struggles of the Lions franchise. And now,
yes, we are.
And now, they sit arguably as the favorite, not only to make the Super Bowl, but win it.
So speak now, on it, Scott.
Exactly.
Speak
so
on
let's see.
Exactly. He's the only one, Mo, that I'm not. I don't have anything to say because Scott is from Detroit. Scott has practically known me my entire life. I have been rooting for the Lions my entire life. This isn't something new, but this is. Hey, but it is a new position for us at this time of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. As Scott can attest to, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the city of Detroit in my lifetime.
So far, because the way Cade and Osar Thompson are playing, you might have some more great things on the way in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta bring it back to a little bit of basketball.
They brought out all the heavyweights yesterday. I had to text with my boy Chauncey Billups. You know, Portland's playing in Detroit tonight,
right?
And they introduced Chauncey to the crowd last night in front of Ford Field to get everybody hyped in the beginning. You know, so they brought back the latest world champion.
Let me tell you something.
It was 20 years ago, but, you know, hey, Chauncey's beloved there.
I couldn't go to bed last night to about midnight my time.
Wow.
Because after the game, I started receiving calls from people I ain't heard from in years.
I want to clarify for any new listeners today. Any of you guys who, you know, I don't know if Fox Sports are still making their sports shows, but if you've transferred over, if you're new here, this is a basketball show. We just, you know, when Scott's here, we got to talk a little NFL to start off our Mondays.
Yeah, but
this
exactly.
I don't know if you guys are missing Undisputed or Speak or whatever it is, but I just want to clarify that the human resources department here is fully ethical and There is nothing going on behind the scenes like there is at other networks. So I do want to just welcome the new listeners in. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Hey, Mo knows how to bring in the new year, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he does.
hey, Scott, I know how to do a lot of things. I don't know how to get a job at Fox, though. That's one
exactly.
thing I don't Everything I get is earned the correct way. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Oh, wow.
But do you know one thing I was thinking about this weekend? You know, it's the new year. New beginnings, fresh start and all of that. You know, my friends came to me. They said, Mo, you know, it's the new year. You think you need to chill out a bit, you know, like all the partying, the girls, this and that. You need to just take it easy. But then this weekend, I was sat home wishing I was in the club. Do you know why?
Why is that?
LiAngelo Ball dropped the song of the year, and it's only January 6th. Have you heard this, BJ? Because I know you stay up on the
hip. No.
I'm tapping out.
So no, that.
Scott, is it, Mo, it, this is
I you know if BJ hadn't heard it, or it's not going to come
in.
I know I've heard it. Oh, you heard it?
Do you know
BJ heard it? BJ, you heard it? Okay.
Are you not a fan?
It's not a fan. I am. Scott knows this. You know this. Our audience knows this. However, I respect artists. I respect mm-hmm. the music. I prefer hip-hop.
It is hip-hop. Okay. It sounds like 2000s hip-hop. It sounds like Nelly made it.
Okay.
Shout out to LeVar. Yeah. Two sons in the league. Another son dropping banger after banger.
I'll have to listen to it after the show because I have not heard it yet.
Sure. Next time you go to the gym, listen to it. It'll add an extra 20 kg to your bench press. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Okay.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. But anyway, BJ celebrating, his lines are up. Scott, not so confident on his Steelers, but let's get back to some NBA talk, right? Let's get back to some NBA talk. You know, we had Chris on the show. Chris Haynes came on the show. It was a great show the other week. Shout out to everyone who tuned in. But he did report last night that the Phoenix Suns are dropping Bradley Beal and Yusuf Nurkic to the bench. Mm-hmm. Now, Scott, I want to start with you here in your experience as a general manager. I don't know. In your career, did you ever have a player that you signed with a no-trade clause on their contract? Because it's not often that this happens in the NBA. It's very rare, right?
No, I don't believe that I ever had a player that had one of those no-trade contracts. They're relatively rare.
Yeah, it's only like league, the superstar players, you know, like Kevin Garnett had one, LeBron had one, Kobe had
exactly.
One, like,
right, but even, you know, some of the other stars don't have them. I mean, but there's just been a handful that I can recall that really haven't. You mentioned Kobe being one of them. I do remember that.
But
years ago,
Bradley Beal somehow has one. And do you think that this move from the Suns to bring him off the bench is an effort to attempt to provoke him into waiving that no trade clause? Because, of course, there's all the rumors about Phoenix making a move for Jimmy Butler. Or do you think that this is a basketball move because the Phoenix Suns right now are currently sitting in 12th place, 15 and 18, and they have been extremely disappointing, especially with the new coach coming in and, you know, they upgraded their depth in a big way and people are excited to see them this season. Do you think that this is a move to improve their on-court product, or do you think that this is a move behind the scenes maneuvering in order to try and make a trade?
I'm going to go with the former mode. It is about basketball. Look, this team is struggling. There was a lot more expected from this team right now. And when you struggle like the Phoenix Suns have with high-end talent, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, who you talked about, you got to find a way to win with this group because you can't depend on a trade to improve this team. Now, a lot of that work was done in the offseason. This is who you have for right now. Now, that doesn't mean as a front office you're not trying to figure it out. But I don't know, by moving him to the bench, is that going to twist his arm to waive his no-trade contract? I don't think it's at that level right now, in my opinion. I just really believe that they're trying to figure it out. Maybe Bradley Beal putting him to the second unit and letting him really control that second group and maybe find his game again, because they're noticing something that he's not able to, quote unquote, play like the Bradley Beal from the Washington Wizards with this current group, because KD and Devin Booker demand so much involvement in the offense. You gotta play through those two guys first, and this is brand new for Bradley Beal being the third wheel on the team. So maybe by bringing him off the bench, see if he can regain his confidence. And that does not mean he won't close out games either. So you got to have these conversations. I believe they got to go directly to, I'm sure they went directly to Bradley Beal and said, hey, we got to try this because it's about winning. So I don't believe it's from the organization standpoint, okay, let's do this to get him to waive his no trade clause. Because you get into a dangerous game when you start doing that, in my opinion.
Well, Bradley Beal and Yusuf Nurkic were head to the bench, and Ryan Dunn, who's been impressive as a rookie, and Mason Plumlee will be headed into the starting lineup.
BJ, gives him a little more defense. Gives him a little more defense.
BJ, probably. Do you think this is going to help the Phoenix Suns immediately have an on-court impact?
Well, as I look at the roster,
clearly we're talking about really good players. Okay, this isn't a talent issue. I think what this is an issue where you have players where the flow or the skill set of all of the players that we're talking about, right? Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker. It doesn't fit with this group, right? And suddenly now we have a player like Devin Booker who is an elite scorer. Since this trade, I don't know the numbers, but since this trade, now suddenly I take an all-star caliber player, Devin Booker, who is an elite two guard in this league. One of the best shooters, scorers in this league at his position. Suddenly now when I watch them play, he's playing the point guard position or the lead guard position with Bradley Beal. I don't know how this fits, right? So I agree with Scott. I think this is a basketball decision. They're trying to figure it out. However, they're going to have to, you know, Devin Booker, he's a volume scorer. He needs mm-hmm. his yep. shots. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant clearly needs his shots. Yep. And then suddenly now we need a player who can play downhill, distribute, and that's not Bradley Beal's game.
Well, they got Tyus Jones this season.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but then... Okay, well, I you know, Grayson Allen plays there.
Yep.
It's just not enough minutes. And the only lead guard that I see is Tyus Jones. Yep. So that puts right. that automatically puts, in my opinion, Bradley Beal on the bench. So this is a long time coming. From the moment they signed him there, from the moment they traded for him, I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be interesting. See how it plays out. Sometimes, you know, you'll get a player and it works out. Sometimes, you know, for the most part, you are who you are, as we like to say. Bradley Beal is a scorer. So I think this is just trying to figure out the spacing, the combinations, and play players where they can put the ball back in their hand, especially in today's game. So we'll see how this works out. Mm. But they're going to need elite guard play.
Yeah.
This is going to work at all.
The opposite to you guys. I think this is clearly an attempt to get Bradley Beal to maybe not want to stay in Phoenix. So just walk with me here. If they were to make the trade for Jimmy Butler, how does that change your view on the Phoenix Suns? Because Jimmy Butler provides arguably less shooting than Bradley Beal in terms of spacing the floor when KD and Booker are going to work. He needs the same amount of shots, if not more shots. Defensively, he's better. But how would you view it if they were to switch Bradley Beal with Jimmy Butler on this team?
Again, when you start talking about making trades and adding and subtracting to your team, okay, you can look at the names and the talent of individuals, but it often, and BJ touched on it earlier, it gets down to fit, though. Just because you assemble three all-star players doesn't mean that they're going to fit from a personality standpoint and the way they play the game standpoint. Now, on paper, you can say, oh, we've got three major stars. We're going to be a good team. Figure it out. No, it doesn't. That's not real world. So, again, I think it's going to be, first of all, being able to trade for Jimmy Butler is going to be extremely difficult because now – you're making a huge assumption that the Miami Heat are going to want to take Bradley Beal. And
yeah,
and
I think a third team would have to be involved in this.
And I don't know who that would be because if I'm the Miami Heat, one thing you know about the Miami Heat, they want players that are available and ready to play. And Bradley Beal has not been that over the last 4 or 5 years for sure. And so there's no data or intuition that would suggest that all of a sudden you trade for him in Miami, now he's going to be available to play the rest of the season and as he continues to get older. So that's, I don't see that happening. But to answer, you know, again, the hypothetical of Jimmy fitting, you get a better defender on the court, obviously. But again, is Jimmy willing to be the third wheel? Also, Jimmy wants to money on top of the his last year. I think he's owed $52 million that he can opt into or opt out of. And that obviously was one of the sticking points here in Miami, that he wanted money. He wanted Miami to extend him, and they said they weren't going to extend him. And I don't necessarily disagree with Miami taking that stance, because you got a 35, 36-year-old player. Again, it is not going to get any better as he ages. And there's no disrespect to Jimmy Butler. He's a fantastic player, great player. But that's just the reality of the situation, is how Miami's looking at it. So now, if you're Phoenix, do you want to take that on, knowing that a big part of Jimmy's departure is that he wants an extension? Now, are you willing to give him that extension in that neighborhood of $50 million or more? I don't know that Phoenix can really sign up for that, responsibly sign up for that. That's just me as I look at it. Again, I'm not in their building, but that is a lot of money to extend. If you start talking about giving him, let's say, an extension of $180 million to $200 million at 35 years old, he'll be 36 when it kicks in. That's difficult to do if you're trying to, as you try to put together a team that can win it all, especially when you invest in that much money in aging players.
BJ, what would you think if they swapped Bradley Beal and Jimmy Butler on this Phoenix team?
Well, we're talking roster construction again. And last I checked, Tyler Hero was there playing the two-guard position. We talked about on the other side, they already have an elite, you know, two-guard in Devin Booker. You know, Jimmy Butler is not a three-point shooter, right? Even when Jimmy Butler was playing at his prime. Therefore, that's going to affect the spacing on the floor. But more importantly, you know, I don't know how that works. If you did get a Jimmy Butler there in Phoenix, and then you bring a Bradley Beal back to Miami, now you're just looking at names, contracts, and what you're trying to do. You're trying to build a team. So, you know, I just think it's just a matter of, this is what it is. I don't like the trade. If that were to happen, I don't see how that fits. I don't see how that would allow, for instance, Miami to continue to build out their roster.
No.
Miami has always, you know, as far as I can remember, Scott, I don't know, correct me, you know, Mo, correct me. I don't ever recall them trying to retool or
no,
trying to figure out how to get into the draft to the draft lottery. So I don't like it. I see the name. I understand why that's out here. However, in my dealings with the Miami Heat, this doesn't fit what they're trying to do. However, they are open to, I'm sure, some things that will help them move forward as they're attempting to reconstruct their roster. If that's what was reported and has been confirmed that, you know, whatever, something's going on down there in Miami. But I don't think Bradley Beal with that roster, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, I don't know if that significantly upgrades them at the numbers they got to get back.
No.
You know, right. So I don't agree with it, but hey, so be it. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, looking at it from afar.
And you know, the thing I'm going to be watching for too, that's going to be interesting, really, what is the true market for Jimmy Butler? Because again, that extension is hanging over the head of anybody that takes him on.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you trade for him, you're basically saying, I'm going to do that. Because if you don't, now you could have a similar situation what you're seeing down in Miami. And there's nothing more important, and BJ knows this as a player, than protecting the sanctity of your locker room.
Mm.
You lose your locker room, I don't care who's in there. You're not going to win any games. You're not going to... Definitely not going to be moving towards any type of championship.
Doesn't he have a player option, Scott? He has a player
option. Yes, he has a player option. After this season, $52 million. So you got to assume that he's going to opt into that. There's no way at 36 years old, when he was turning 36 next year, or I know he's 35 now, that he's going to opt out of $52 million unless he knows he has a deal somewhere else that's going to pay him at minimum that amount of money going into next season. I don't see it. Yeah. So,
but Scott, if you were in the hot seat in Miami and Pat Riley's come to you and he said, look, we have to trade Jimmy Butler, but we don't want to tank, what would you be kind of trying to target around the league?
Well, again, the tough thing is making these salaries work when you're trying to get enough salary back. I just need to get back, again, guys that are going to fit a player or players that will fit this Heat culture. That means being available all the time. That means being committed to the greater good, meaning the winning trumps everything, anything individually. Guys with that kind of mindset. Look, we watched this Miami team. Now, I know Jimmy was a big part of it. Go to a finals with a lot of guys who were second round guys undrafted. Now, you can't make a living out of that. But my point is, you just want to get, you're not going to get back, in my opinion, probably another all-star, superstar player back for Jimmy Butler, especially how this thing has panned out, given his age, you know, the looming contract situation. So you just try to get back guys. If I would be looking for a guy on a, you know, shorter term deal who can come in, want to prove himself, want to fit, and this is going to help, you know, push us forward with the way we want to play. Again, he may not be, probably won't be as talented as Jimmy Butler, but that's okay. As long as the guy is going to be available every night, you know, can give me, you know, he's got to be able to score a little bit for sure. And it's going to give me an effort on the defensive end. So a younger player, the problem with getting a younger player back, like, you know, when Golden State was mentioned, you know, Jonathan Kuminga didn't make enough money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'd have to take an Andrew Wiggins back, you know, and package the salary.
And teams who are in the second apron can't package salaries and trades now. So
exactly. Exactly. It makes it very difficult. So, again, and I agree with BJ, you know, and I mentioned Bradley Beal. I don't know that Bradley Beal is a fit down in Miami for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to him and his game, but just where he's at in his career, how many years he has left on his contract, and the lack of availability in this recent history doesn't make as much sense. And positionally, you got Tyler Hero, who's having a career year thus far at the two-guard position. I believe they need a little more help up front as well as anything, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, whilst you guys were watching the NFL on Sunday, did either of you check out the OKC versus Boston game?
A little bit of it. OKC Thunder.
15 straight wins.
15 straight wins. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm since BJ was gloating about the Lions earlier, mm-hmm. I'm gonna gloat a little bit about Mo. I wish you could rewind the tape when we talked about our
MVP picks.
MVP picks. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Hey, and those are the kind of moments that again help shape the narrative. A lot of times when we talk about the MVP, it's more than just the numbers and the stats. It's a narrative that gets built. And we're Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is in the middle of building that narrative. Mm-hmm. Beat the defending champions in home to, en route to 15 straight. He's third leading scorer in the league. They just had a big win prior to that against the Knicks, where he played big in that game. And so, and they're doing it without their second best player in Chet Holmgren. So all of this winning is going on, and they've been without Chet for the past month and a half or so. So he is writing the narrative that it's his time to win the award. He set it up last year, like I felt, and he's really following through and delivering it. So to me, he is definitely my close to midseason favorite to win the award.
So the Thunder have lost six games so far this year. These are the six games they've lost. One of them, Shai got blocked at the buzzer to tie the game. One of them was the game in which Chet got hurt after 5 minutes and Steph Curry put on a masterclass. One of them, Lou Dort missed a game when he threw at the buzzer. One of them, they lost by 6 points in San Antonio. One of them, J-Dub missed a three at the buzzer to tie. And the other one was the NBA Cup final, where they did get blown out, but I don't know how much value we're putting in that Vegas game. But all the games they've lost have been within two possessions. They've never actually really lost a game by getting outplayed by their opponents. Is it right to say that the OKC Thunder are just going to walk through the Western Conference and be in the NBA Finals this spring? Or do you guys see anyone who can legitimately challenge them in a seven-game series out in the West? Because they're doing this, as you said, without Chet Holmgren. They played the first start of the season without Isaiah Hartenstein, who's looked amazing for them. Alex Caruso has been injured. They've had a bunch of other guys being injured. And right now, looking at it, I don't see a threat to them in a Western Conference. BJ, what do you think?
When you're talking about the OKC, you know, one of the things I want to highlight with this team is, yes, we're talking about the offensive brilliance of Shai Alexander. And I agree with Scott. Scott picked it. You know, Scott has seen MVPs. He's seen what a champion looked like. Shai Alexander is playing at an elite level. However, the one thing I would like to highlight with this team that seems to get lost in all of the as we are patting them on their back right now, is they're playing incredible defense.
Last night, they held the Celtics to one of the worst fourth quarters they've had. In the second half, Jaylen Brown, Jrue Holiday, Derek White, Payton Pritchard, and Sam Hauser combined to be 0 of 19 from the floor. In the fourth quarter, the only players who scored for Boston were Jason Tatum and Al Horford. The second half of that game, the Celtics shot 20% from the field and 12.5% from three. And it wasn't just the Celtics going cold from three. It was the Thunder playing fantastic defense, the way they made adjustments at halftime in their coverages and the way they forced Boston into bad shots was simply fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, they are just playing incredible. And not only offensively, Shai had, that was a phenomenal block on Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that whole sequence of what's happening. So defensively, let's give them credit. Mm-hmm. They are getting out, flying around, and then Shai is just, I mean, he's a monster right now. His confidence is off the charts. You could tell the way he's playing that he's not thinking. He's just playing freely. He's in a flow right now. Sometimes you get in a flow, you get in the rhythm. Well, now he's just doing what he do right now.
So do you see any teams in the West that will be a legitimate? Do you see anyone else coming out the West aside from OKC?
Yeah, I do.
Who?
And because, you know, any team that plays against Jokic, he is a problem in a seven game series. Now, a regular season game playing, this team is going to be tough to beat. Let's not forget, the game is going to slow down a little bit. You got to put together a game plan, so forth and so on. Now, I'm going to give them all the credit for the regular season. But let's not forget now, talent wins. They're still down their second best player. And I don't know if he's coming back this year.
I think he's coming back in February.
Okay.
Is the latest I've heard.
And they're going to need every single one of those players if they're going to get through. The reason being, the Western Conference is tough. This is not an accident. And these teams, you know, whether it's, you know, you can Dallas, you don't want to count them out. Luka, still very capable, okay? These Houston Rockets team, they're still very capable. The Denver Nuggets, they're still very capable. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, right, but I will acknowledge right now they are looking really good. Ja Morant and company, Memphis, they're Memphis sitting there, goodness. What, second and third or somewhere around there?
Yeah, they're third.
Very
right
capable.
Now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these teams are very capable, but I like what I'm seeing. And this is the regular season. Check. Yeah. They are a team that's ready to do it. However, they're going to need, you know, Caruso is still, I think, is he still out?
He was out, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's still out. So they're going to need a full roster to get this thing done. Do I think they're the favorites at this point? Absolutely, provided everyone's on the floor. Yeah. But I don't. I'm still not saying they're going to sweep through the playoffs and sweep through. No, I think this is going to be very tough. I think it's going to be very competitive, as it should be. But when you have a player like Shea Alexander, I like my odds and I like my chances with him. Mm-hmm. And, but they're going to need their entire roster to get this done.
No question about it. You know, I was going to say no question about it. And you know, one thing, and I watched them play the Knicks, and like they fly around on defense talking about OKC Thunder, and that's what ended up with allowed them to win the game because the Knicks were in the lead for much of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And size can give Oklahoma City a little bit of problems, with BJ alluded to in a 7-game series. They're mastering regular season basketball, and you got to be good, obviously, regular season basketball to put yourself in position come playoff time to have a high seed, home court, all those things that come along with that. OKC Thunder's next job, though, will be, and you can't look past the remaining of the regular season, but now they've got to get into mastering playoff basketball, and that's a different. It's a different game. It's a different type of game. So that's why I agree with BJ in that, are they favorites right now and with the way they're playing? Yes. But this group as a whole has not gone through a complete playoff gauntlet to make the championship yet. So you got to see that happen and how they're going to adjust against some bigger teams as well too, especially if they have someone of size. Again, they're not going to stop Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but they could make him work. I mean, as you know, teams that BJ pointed out, you know, can Houston put a Dylan Brooks on him and make it tough for him? Well, he's still going to get his points.
It wasn't tough for him. You got Jaylen Brown started the game guarding him. You got Jrue Holiday, Derrick White, and those are the three of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. Right. And he was still finding ways to make plays. What I'm really looking forward to this week is the game between the OKC Thunder and the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you combine the records of two opponents who are facing each other in a regular season, this game on Tuesday night is going to be the second highest ever combined win percentage that we've seen in an NBA regular season matchup. The highest we ever saw was when the 40-4 Golden State Warriors took on the 38-6 San Antonio Spurs in 2016. And before that, it was when the 1972 Lakers were 39-3, taking on the 35-8 Milwaukee Bucks. And heading into this one, Cleveland are 31-4, and OKC are 30-5. So that is going to be a very intriguing match.
Where's the game at?
I think it's Cleveland, in Oklahoma. Right? Let me check now. It is. It is in Cleveland, yeah. It's in Cleveland. On Wednesday night, sorry, not Tuesday night. But I think that's going to be a great one to watch because I think a lot of people are forgetting about the Cavs as well because the Cavs have just been on a crazy, crazy streak themselves.
This will be a good early season barometer too because the interesting thing here, you know, again, Cleveland has a smaller backcourt. So Shea's going to have a decided side size advantage going into those matchups, whether it's Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell, who's matched up with him. I would assume Donovan would start on, or they'll probably put Isaac Okoro on him would be my guess. Maybe they put him on him to start the game. But then the length of those two big guys in Cleveland. Okay, Hardenstein can match up with one. Are they going to match him up with Mobley? Or they're going to match him up with Jared Allen. Whoever he's not matched up with, they're going to have a size advantage. Now, Evan Mobley has more to his game in terms of being able to score. My guess is they'll probably try to put Hardenstein on him and then a smaller guy on Jared Allen, who they don't play through as much, but he's a terrific offensive rebounder and he's very active. So it'll be interesting to watch those two games to get an early season feel for both teams, and because this will be a playoff type atmosphere, I believe. It's an ESPN game, national televised game, so all eyes will be on that matchup.
The Cavs right now are the fourth team in NBA history with a 10-game double-digit win streak. They won their last 10 by double digits, so It'll be a very, very interesting matchup. You know, when you talk about the reservations you have for OKC when it comes to not having been through that playoff experience as a complete group, do you have similar reservations for this Cavaliers team who have largely, this group put together, have largely disappointed in the postseason? Do you have the same kind of reservations for them?
Yeah, I do have a reservation for them. What I have to see with the Cavaliers, can they grind out seven-game series? When the game slows down a little bit, gets a little more physical, can this group play physical enough to go through the entire Eastern Conference? That'll be my question for them. From a skill perspective, I believe they have it. They're playing with a ton of confidence right now. But I want to see when shots aren't falling, game gets a little ugly, can this team overcome in those situations? And there's so many games in the playoffs end up looking that way. That'll be the thing that I need to see from the Cavaliers.
BJ, how are you looking at the Cavs right now? Because you've been telling everyone about Evan Mobley before anyone. So so you feeling pleased with yourself the way that Scott feels about his Shea MVP pick?
No, well, listen, we have an advantage because we get a chance to watch these players prior to them getting on the big stage. So I would love to tell you that I saw something no one else saw. Trust me when I tell you this. Anyone who was out there scouting saw the same thing I saw. Evan Mobley is very gifted, very talented. However, Scott is 1,000% correct. This team is playing great. You know, what they're really doing is they're sharing the basketball. They're playing the game with a nice flow. They share that basketball, and that ball is moving around. Now, this is one of the few teams that at all times, they have five guys that are actually a threat on the offensive end, no matter where they're at on the floor, probably with the exception of Jared Allen, probably the only one that's not shooting threes in their starting lineup. But everyone else is a threat in the way they play, and they attack the basket. So I like how this group is playing. Defensively, guys, they can rim protect, which allows them to defend on the perimeter, because they had not only one elite shot blocker, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, you could say, is just as good or better than him. And he's certainly a more versatile defender on the perimeter than Jared Allen is right now. So I like what I see. However, there's a lot of things they have to answer. Let's not forget that Scott, I think you were there, Scott. Were you there when the New York Knicks beat them in the first round?
Yes, we were there. In the first round.
And you exposed a level of physicality that they weren't able to match in that series, if I remember correctly. Yes. And they had the home court advantage. So
yes,
they're playing terrific. But we also have to be reminded of what we don't do well or what we haven't done well thus far. So there, it's out there. I can assure you the coaches will, if you see them play, if you're going to play them in the first round of the playoffs this year, somehow that tape will get, they will find that tape to say, this is how you beat this team. Okay. I know they have a new coach now, but it's the same players. And until you do it, you have to answer that question. So, but I like them. I like what they're doing. I'm looking forward to, I think it's Wednesday night, that game. It could be a preview to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. We have star players. We have excellent coaching. And we have the two best teams record-wise in the league. I mean, your Celtics would argue otherwise. Mm-hmm. The Knicks would argue otherwise. There's some other teams out there that feel they are, you know, just as good. But by the records, those two are. It should be a good game. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, everyone is not at a full capacity, right, due to the injuries. But still, I think it's going to be a very contested game. But more importantly, we'll be there watching. I know all of us will. We'll be there watching. Yes. And, we will be entertained.
I'm very glad to hear it. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great matchup. It's going to be another great week of NBA action. So make sure you stay subscribed to the show. We're bringing these to you every single day for anyone who's new around here. And we'll be talking basketball as we do.
Yeah, we'll be talking basketball. But a little football will be thrown in.
That's for you guys.
Hey, Mo, you got a week off because the Lions earned themselves a bye.
Okay,
Lions won't play for 2 weeks now.
So let me ask you this. Do Do you think the NBA regular season would be more competitive if the number one seed got a first week bye in the NBA playoffs, first round bye?
Never thought about that, Mo.
So only seven teams could make the playoffs in the first
Scott,
season.
I'm going to remind Scott. Mm-hmm. When you sweep a team in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and the other team is still playing, that is a very difficult second round.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because there's such a thing as having too much time off.
Yes. At that stage, now it's
in football here for the Lions.
They need it.
They needed it. they're down six or seven starters on the defensive end, and you know they need to get some people back healthy. And yes. I think the running back Montgomery has a chance to be back healthy to help them on the offensive side of the ball too. So, you know, different game, but in basketball, if you compete for that number one seed, let's take your example. You could be sitting out 2 weeks if you're waiting for all the other series to be done. Mm-hmm. So that's a long time because there's not enough good practice time. You know, there's a lot of rust and there's nothing like that in-game action. So
yeah, hey, Scott, and if we were executives and Mo was on our team, we wouldn't want to give Mo 2 weeks off of unattended time.
Hey,
I'm not holding you up, Mo. Why you got your hands up?
Exactly.
We want to make sure that Mo is occupied at all times. You know,
because Mo, I would come to you and to my players, and I said, now, Mo, how you gonna handle this 2 weeks off? How you gonna keep yourself prepared?
You wouldn't be having this conversation exactly. With you'd be FaceTime with me because I'd be in Vegas. So
exactly. 2 weeks off during two the season.
That's a long time.
Yeah. It's a long time, you know. That's a long
man. Yeah, I don't even have 2 weeks off doing a podcast. Let alone being a millionaire who plays sports. So it'd be a whole different level. I can only imagine. Give me 2 weeks off as a podcaster and I still trouble. So pro athlete contract, that'd be crazy. Scott, your team's playing then this week?
Yes. Playing Saturday. Baltimore Ravens. So that's our rival. You know, that is a division rival. So on the one hand, I mean, the Ravens are going to be heavily favored because they're playing better. They've been playing better right now. But on the other side of it, I don't care how teams are going. When this matchup, when they meet head to head, it's a bloodbath. It's physical. And usually it gets down to a team that can control that line of scrimmage. The Steelers are going to have to find a way to slow down Derrick Henry some. Historically done decent against Lamar Jackson. And then Steelers got to make some plays offensively and win the turnover battle. So it's a lot. They got to go on the road to do it, but they won't be afraid of the opponent. They know each other inside and out. And so that's the one thing that you know going into the game. And normally these games are decided by a field goal they're normally that close. So we'll see.
Scott, who's winning the Super Bowl this season? I'm not going to ask BJ because I know he's going to say Detroit Lions. So, Scott, I'm going to ask you this.
Call it now before the playoffs begin. I mean, I'm not just saying this because BJ is on here. Because I'm going back and forth really between the Lions and the Philadelphia Eagles.
No Patrick Mahomes.
Those are the two teams.
No Patrick Mahomes this year.
I believe the AFC is a gauntlet.
They be talking about Patrick Mahomes like he's prime Jordan.
Well,
I'm expecting him to win every year.
He is. I mean, look, you can't count him out. There's no question. But I just believe, I believe both Detroit and Philadelphia, from a physical standpoint, the only team in the AFC. You know, I'm not putting my Steelers in it. We're just not playing well enough right now. But it is the Ravens. See, the Ravens can match the Lions and the Eagles' physicality all day long. They're the one team that could control the clock and the run if they made it through. But I don't know. Again, KC has the home court. So I'm going to say the Detroit Lions are going to win it. They got the home field.
Mo.
Be careful though, because I remember having these same conversations last year. Be careful though.
It's a little different.
But I'll tell you what,
they had their heart broke last year.
I know I ain't gonna see BJ at All Star Weekend if Detroit do win it. I know I ain't going to see him All-Star Weekend. You're going to go to that parade, huh?
Hey, you won't see. It's two people you won't see. You won't see me, and you won't see Scott, because we have waited our whole life.
Scott can't switch sides now. He's a Steelers. No, he can't switch sides now.
Scott grew up in Detroit. He's grandfathered in. There's a special clause. Okay. We grandfathered him in as a Lions fan. Okay,
yeah. It would be truly witnessing history. I would tell you this moment. People who grew up in Detroit, hope and pray for these moments here. Like, this team is favored to go and make it. It really has a chance to go make it and win it. And they'll be relative like this for the next few years. I believe that the way they're set up,
Scott is grandfather. It's a special clause. Scott Perry is in. Grandfathered him in. Is grandfathered in. He gave up on the Lions, but we grandfathered him in.
Yeah.
He's back in.
Okay. Do I get an invite as well to this parade, or what's the deal?
Well, you do. You're in. Mo. You're a Detroit fan. You're in. You're a Pistons fan.
No,
you're a Lions
fan. I can be a Lions fan, but I ain't ever going to be a Pistons
if
fan.
If the Lions were to win the Super Bowl, like I just predicted, the parade in Detroit. We had a parade in Detroit when we won the title with the Pistons in 2004. Fantastic. Hundreds of thousands. They claim almost 1 million people came out. I don't know the number. But I guarantee whatever that number was, this will be 4 or 5x the Lions. You might get the entire state for this parade if the Lions were winning. No, I'm telling you, it might be a parade that lasts 2 days.
Scott is being conservative.
Conservative.
It ain't
exactly.
No might about it. It ain't exactly. No 4 or 5x. Everything you heard about Detroit right now might have been true. Might not. But let me tell you this. We will have unity with our Lions.
Oh, no, I'm telling you.
Everything that's happening in the city of Detroit will be put on pause when them Lions play. And Mo, let me get New Orleans ready. We are coming and we travel. The whole state of Michigan will be in New Orleans. It ain't even about getting into the arena.
They will
be there.
On location,
and there will be no problems. And we coming. And I'm telling you right now, Mo, the biggest obstacle is how can Mr. Golf, Mr. Campbell, can they buy a meal in the city of Detroit? That will be the most difficult thing. No Lions player will be able to ever buy a meal again in the state of Michigan.
No.
Scott is being.
Yeah, it's no telling. Yeah, it's the benefits and all that will last a lifetime. It's not just we're gonna treat you to a meal because you won the Super Bowl this year and then it changes back. No, this like you hear those lifetime achievement awards. This would be the largest parade, maybe outside of any parade that's taking place in New York. That's just because you have more.
So let me ask you this, Lions win the Super Bowl, but what if the Pistons snuck in to the playoffs as the 8th seed and somehow, some way, won an NBA championship? Okay. Which would be bigger this year?
Bro, that wouldn't even register.
Yeah, so for real.
Lions. I don't care. If they were the 10th, if they were the, yeah, they started at the 10th and won the play-in to get in.
Yeah. And no one would care.
I know it's historic from basketball term, but I'm telling you. You know what the Lions and what this is? Yeah, it wouldn't even register.
Bro, this is the Liars. This is bro. This is the Liars. Scott and I might have to go back home. Just to
see. I don't know. I'm waiting for you to take me to a game so I can see what the fuss is about. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Scott, can you imagine what the suites are going for in Detroit?
Oh, well, look. Let me tell you. I looked yesterday. You know, they always post like the cheapest ticket that you can buy, like at NBA games or NFL games, all that. The Lions game yesterday, the cheapest ticket that they could find online was $316. That probably is for up at the very top. You could, years ago, you could get an entire section for $316.
Well,
you don't understand. For one single ticket, 316 football game is huge. I would guess that there was tickets going $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. Look, the Minnesota Vikings, their owner bought $2 million worth of tickets for their fans to be able to come. So that lets you know how expensive the tickets were yesterday.
Well, I just looked for them. And you have to join a queue to get to the lobby, to then get in a queue to get to the waiting room, to then get in a queue to buy a ticket. So I can't even get the price of the tickets
now. So, Stemmer, if you go, you know, like on ESPN, they have, and I think they get it from StubHub, you know, tickets as low as, and that was yesterday. And I looked at that game yesterday, the Lions tickets as low as 316. So that means the majority of them were much higher than that. So that might have been, you know, that might have been two seats left.
We might have to go back. You know what? We might have to go back. This is, only people from Detroit understand.
Understand, no question.
This is the one thing, you can't jump on the Lions bandwagon. Because you remember now, we was 0-16. We've been down at the bottom of the bottom.
Yeah, Mo, you know, if you've seen fans in the stands with grocery bags on their head.
Yeah.
And the that's us. That was the Lions.
That was the Knicks fan before Scott Perry saved them. I'm just saying.
Bo was quick.
I'll see you fellas in Detroit. How about that?
Okay.
Well, BJ said you can't jump on the bandwagon, but I'm here.
You can't jump on our bandwagon. You can't claim
us. It's too
late.
You can't
come in and say, hey, that city is gonna be rocking.
Oh man.
And Scott knows you ain't coming to Detroit talking about you go travel with us. No, this is Detroit, baby. Hey.
Ooh. Yeah, I can only imagine what that stadium is like.
Man.
It comes through on your television, but to be there, man. The energy in it. It's second to none.
The production at the games now. Bringing in, and it's a local thing, you know. I mean, you have to be from Detroit. Mm-hmm. There's no outsiders coming in. No, this is Detroit. This is what we do, and I love it. I love it.
Well, we will see. We will see. But in the meantime, before the NFL playoffs, we will be talking about more basketball. So we'll be back here tomorrow. So make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And until next time, get buckets.